All right, today we will finalize, take the document there, and if anyone still doesn't have one, raise your hand. Ushers will make sure that you have one. Eternally, everybody say eternally. Confirm election. Eternally confirm election. So you know we're not talking about the one we just came out of. Amen. The essence of election is the foundation of your salvation. Election. The fact that God chose you in Him. As we have said, the term election simply means to elect, to choose, select, opt. Amen. We're not speaking about the secular example of political elections where we made choice of president, at least in manifestation we made choice of president. Amen. Actual choice is God's. Amen. And it doesn't mean that He's endorsing the one that's selected, but we have to understand eternal purpose and eternal intent versus the intent of time. Amen. And so our focus, and we're talking about election, and we will continue to talk about election, but we're not talking about political election. Amen. We're talking about the eternal choice of God in having placed you in Him before creation. I think Brother Glenn was reading this morning that passage in Ephesians 2 and 8. Amen. Speaking about, amen, you are having been chosen. You are because you were. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Not you are because you did something. Amen. Now, I want you to turn to page 4. Let's review that scripture that we were looking at. There are one or two more little nuggets I want to dig out of it. Colossians chapter 3,
verse 12.
Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. All right, everyone has the document, and you're at page 4. Say amen. Everyone have your Bibles open, and you're at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, say amen. All right. Now, as we said last week, and as we followed through the essence of election, and we were focusing on the venue, and also the essence of, I should say, the venue of, and the essence of when you were selected by God.
Right, right.
Amen. That is very important. That is very important. You can clear the table of all of the controversy when you establish the workings of God in eternity. It is in the eternal realm where the work of salvation commenced, was implemented, and culminated. A done deal in eternity. Before time, those who are His were His. From the beginning, He called you out, He spoke you out, as we dealt with in that verse. Deacon, just read verse 12. In addition to Colossians 3 and 12, we're going to finalize the ministering in this document with 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. But right now, let's look in Colossians 3. Deacon, just oh my God, I'm fighting time. I know I don't have 3 hours this morning. Oh, my God. Just read verse 12. Everybody got Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Say amen.
Amen.
Got it?
Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, beginning with the King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
Put on, therefore...
Wait a minute. Where am I off here? Therefore is God's elect. What should I be?
312.
Oh, okay. All right.
Put on, therefore, as the elect of God,
mm-hmm.
holy and beloved, vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Now, from the interlinear Greek text.
Right, and that's where the confusion came in. As I said last week, the actual linguistics, as it is grouped, and when we speak, we always put the subject before the predicate, and the manuscript writings don't follow that format many, many times. And this is where the confusion, I was looking at the Greek. All right. Brother Deacon, read from the interlinear, and I want everyone, if you don't have Greek interlinear, just follow along very, very closely.
Colossians 3, verse 12, interlinear
mm-hmm.
Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Put ye on, therefore, as chosen ones of God, holy, and having been loved.
Okay, as we said last week, and it almost forces you to read from the Greek. First word in the manuscript is in this sathe, which basically in relationship, that word there, he has translated it, put on, put ye on. And as we said last week, that causes problem. Because if we're going to speak it in our language, the way that we do the word order here, I'll translate it, and I guess I won't have time to go through the Greek, but therefore, as God's elect, holy, and having been and being loved, we have translated that exhibited. In this affair is... notes the completed, dominated depiction of what was previously assigned or exhibited. Here you have the imperative mood. What is the imperative mood?
Command.
It's a command. But it is in the aorist tense. What is the aorist tense? A completed action. You have a completed command. But you won't understand that unless, first of all, you understand that the way we speak, it would flow afterwards. In translations, the first thing you note there is the Greek word "un," which is translated "therefore." Anytime you see that word leading off a verse and it's saying therefore, what it basically is telling you that this is a summation.
Right.
And in order to go forward and be in tune with what follows it, you must contextualize. Which means you must go up to the verses before, see what they're talking about. So going forward, when he says, therefore, it won't be like you walked in on the conversation and you don't know what was said before. You ever walked in on a conversation and you walk in on a conversation and somebody's talking, and you just hear you hear that part. You didn't hear the previous part.
Right.
And so you start talking, and they say, "But that's not what we're talking about."
Right.
See. So here you would have to go back above and see what he was talking about. And the essence here, what you must understand, and oh my God, that clock, I'm fighting this morning. Therefore, it's expressive, but you got to bring in the aggression that he's talking about the new man, the inner man. Now, as I said last week, the problem is we get the new man mixed up with the old man. You know, the song that used to sing, I looked at my feet, look at my hands, my hand was new. Look at my feet, and they were too. That's my friend is an illusion. If those feet were rusty before you did whatever you thought you did, they're still. And the hands are capable of doing everything they've ever done. That's the old man. Now, he will eventually go away, as Paul said, when since this earthly house of this tabernacle is destroyed. So the essence of who he is and his capabilities will be absorbed in the fact that God will eventually get rid of him. I'm talking about the flesh. And so, but the focus here is on the new man. The essence of the new man and his entrance into existence occurred in eternity before time.
Yes.
Follow me here this morning.
Yes, amen.
So when he said exhibit, he is speaking of identifying with the new man. Not identifying with who you are in the flesh, but identifying with who you are in Christ. And notice he says, therefore, as God's elect. Here the emphasis is you're already God's elect. Here, you must understand that the essence of being God's elect is that you are holy. Forget about character in relationship to that word. Holy means set apart. It simply means to be separated or set apart.
That's right. Amen.
Holiness and the essence of being separated. It's the essence of being separated. It speaks of position. Being sanctified speaks of position. And forget about the word righteousness. As soon as you say righteousness, you're talking about the righteousness of Christ. Because we have none. Now, someone said, well, does conduct come into? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's testimony. Conduct is expressed or exhibited in what? Maturation. Maturing. Maturing. That's what conduct is about. It's like, you have a lot of little children, you've got to have supervision, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You get to be 18, 20, 21 years old, you shouldn't still need supervision. That's what maturation is about. It is growth, comprehension, and understanding through what? Knowledge. Through knowledge. Through knowledge. And so when he said, holy here, he means separated. When were you separated? You were separated the next word is what? And having been and being loved. When were you loved?
In eternity.
In eternity.
Thank you. Yes, amen.
In eternity. Thank you. God didn't choose people and sanctify them and set them apart and place them in the body of Christ who didn't, he didn't love. Don't you ever doubt. Listen to me. Listen to me. Everybody listen. Listen up. You should never doubt that you were loved by God. So I lost my job. Don't gauge God by no job. Well, I lost my health. Don't gauge God by your health. Don't you know him saving you is more than him healing you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, men of God's people put the premium on the healing. Mm-hmm. To them, being healed means more than being saved.
That's right. Amen.
But here in eternity, he loved you and he set you in the body of Christ. Oh my God. So we are God's, as God's chosen, the choice of him choosing us is the separation. And he did it in eternity. And here what he's saying, what is exhibited from that is merciful compassion, kindness, humble thinking, meekness, long suffering. All of these things come as a result of the knowledge and the understanding of who you are. We don't have to stand here and put 1500 rules up, you know, and said, do this, don't do that, and, you know, and someone said, no. Here, what you're trying to do is to take the bath water. You say, well, you know, we're going to clean up this, that, and the other, so forth and so on. I was talking to someone in a certain religion, I won't say who is, they preach against smoking, but they say it's okay to drink. What we do, we pick our little,
right.
You know, now, hey, you know, according to the medical science, all of it's bad, you know, but don't annex that to salvation.
No.
Because what about that little thing that you're doing? No, we always conveniently. So, who makes the rules? And it was always amazing to me when I was growing up in the church. Most of the rules were directed at the women.
Yeah.
You know why? Because the men were in charge. You know. You know. But what you have to do is to understand that as it relates to sin, the baby eventually gets thrown out with the bathwater.
That's right.
Amen. Where's sin? In the flesh?
Yes.
In whose flesh?
All.
My flesh? Your flesh? All flesh. The bishops? Yeah.
Yep.
The Pope?
Yes.
Pastor? Yes. But here Paul is speaking about the new man. Who you really are. Not who you manifestly are in these vile bodies. Has nothing to do with our worthiness. Because we have none. This is an election that has nothing to do with you. How could it? You were not even around. Except in the essence, you were around because a thing is ontologized through God's decree. You were existing in the mind of God, therefore you were existing. Before he ever materially, amen, push you in these bodies. And so what I do now and all of the things that I do now and you do now and so forth and so on, how are you going to come along and annul and make void what God did in eternity? Is that crazy or is that crazy? Huh? Does that make any sense? Not scriptural sense.
No.
But it's the way we've been taught.
Yeah. Amen.
I didn't get a chance to read the pastor's pen this morning, but you know what? We go through all of these changes of guilt because we think that it is the performance of the flesh that qualifies us to be in the body of Christ. No, it doesn't.
No,
it doesn't. If I had to qualify, I wouldn't make it. Would never be chosen. I mean, God looked down at me and looked at just looking at me. No way. Because what does he see? A vile, depraved creature. And that's any man. It is the essence of Christ. The righteousness of Christ. And the essence of that's who you really are and where you really occupy.
Yeah.
Right now, you are in the body of Christ. So that's why that word there, amen, exhibited, we have rendered it. And you can't say put on. And it's already in the what? Aorist tense. So this is what we exhibit. Let's go to page 4 at the top. Those advantageously developing an awareness of genuine spiritual reality. Everybody say genuine spiritual reality. Will be led to comprehending the unseen things that exceed what the so-called rational mind can perceive. It is strictly in this sense that one's internalization of eternal things leads in the direction of genuine spiritual benefits and perceptions void of secular mental processes being involved. The worst thing you can do is to try to rationalize this thing. You know, everything is based on eternal intent. And the majority of things in time, you're not going to be able to rationalize them because the natural mind cannot rationalize eternal intent.
Right. Right.
Everybody say eternal intent.
Eternal intent.
We see something happen and we say, well, I don't understand that. You know why? Because the answer is not in time. The intent is not in time. The intent is in eternity. Not in time. All right. This process of growth and development is a matter of what one's inner guidance exudes regarding the course of clarity, truth, and love. For along this path is the light that prioritizes the futuristic as well as present hope, positively exuding productivity of the eternal electoral process. Doctrinal foundation light exemplifies the self for spiritual transformation and resolution of the heavenlies, illuminating the enlightened principles that lie at the heart of initiating as well as the latter being of existence. Contribute significantly along spiritual lines to the present now in this progression already underway, but even more usefully abiding forever. And said, Pastor, you lost it, but I can hardly wait till January when we get back into actualization.
Right.
by God's decree in eternity. The present now is really the eternal now. Everybody said the eternal now. You see, we think what's happening is what we're looking at. That's not the real happening. These are manifestation and purposes of testimony. And most of the time, what you see is not what you get. The essence is eternity. Now, the ministry is not going to teach this.
No.
Because they're worried about getting so high up there that you're not going to follow it. You're not going to understand it. So we're intimidated. So we won't preach from Paul's epistles. Because they're talking about the unseen.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
But then what does the scripture say? It says we're not looking at the seen. We're not prioritizing the seen.
Right.
We're not rationalizing. Using that term rationalizing. We're not using human ration to try to understand what God is doing and what he has done. It's spiritual. God is spiritual. God is spiritual. So you won't get the answer. You know, it's like, well, I went out and this happened, that happened. I don't understand. You know, sometimes the Lord takes somebody away from here. We're shocked. We're flowed. We can't understand this. Lord, why? You know, somebody lost their job. Lord, why? Somebody come down with a terminating illness. You said, Lord, why? Sometimes it's somebody young, and we say, oh Lord, why? Then, of course, the answer is eternal intent. You see, we prioritize time,
right.
But God prioritizes eternity.
I hear you.
Time is temporary anyway.
Amen.
So why does that person have to die? We're all going to die. Everybody is going to die.
Amen.
Ooh, Pastor, that's not a good message. Boy, come on now.
Man. I hear you.
As they said, be for real.
That's it.
The minute you are born, you start dying.
Sure
do.
That's right.
Your cells are dying and others are being reproduced. And of course, when you're young, the system is intact. And when you get to middle age, it slows down. And then when you get where some of us are, they call it being over the hill. I think it's under the hill. The eternal now. It's not about the manifestation of where you are now.
That's right.
I mean, how crazy is this? You're born. You grow up. Hopefully you get an education. You go to school. You get married. Hopefully you take care of the job part before you do. Then you have children, and then you look up one day and you're a grandchild, a grandparent, got grandchildren. You live long enough after that, then you're great-grand. Then after that, it's checkout time. Now, if that's what all life was about, would that make any sense?
Amen.
Time is but a drop in the ocean, not in the bucket, in the ocean, compared to eternity.
Amen.
Yet, that's not what they're preaching about.
Nope.
They're telling you five ways how to do something. You know, many ministers last week and this week, I guess, are talking about the auto bailout. All week long, they've scared you to death, and we're going to come in here in the morning, this morning. Are we done?
Amen.
Whatever that thing is, it's already decreed.
Already decreed. Amen.
It's already done.
Amen.
And you know what? You are abiding in Christ. In fact, your safety and your security has nothing to do with that.
Thank God. Amen.
Yeah, we're all good citizens. We went to the polls. And of course, what the only thing you'll ever get from this pulpit is to go vote for the candidate of your choice.
Amen.
And then that's your business.
Right.
Because no man has the power.
Mm-hmm.
No man has the power.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They were upset during the debates because the candidates didn't give they didn't give no solution to things.
Right.
How are you gonna give what you don't have?
I hear you.
And it's almost like we think man is in control.
Yes.
Man doesn't control anything.
Nothing.
Who's in control?
God's
in control.
God.
And he hasn't lost control. Not one iota of one. That's some people didn't sleep the other night because the Senate killed the rescue bill. They said, oh my God, what are we going to do now? Are you out of your mind? Your security is in Christ.
That's right.
In God.
Right.
You're set.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're focusing on this election, not that election.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go to election of purpose. Page 4. Got that?
Amen.
Complete light of the Holy Spirit in the grace covenant. Everybody say
the grace covenant.
Reveals eternal being because it accommodates completely the necessity for a secure path of hope through darkness in a time capsule where the enlightened dwell at peace in the world when manifestation of such does not seem possible. That turned their head out. And you said no problem. Because you understand.
That's right.
Isn't it better when God has the problem? I'm just using that. God doesn't really have a problem. I'm saying, when you view that, hey, that's the, you know. My security is God's responsibility.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Eternal election relations of peacefulness exude the spiritual vibration of love that is specifically known by those for whom eternality is an essential part of this life.
Amen.
This brings into reality responses of questions where for many there are no substantive answers to queries in physicality. The answer is not in physicality. The answer is in spirituality, residing in eternality. I'll let that sink in a minute. Now, election in eternal purpose answers such enigmas through embracing the past, present, and future of occurrences as it is dedicated in the spiritual foundation and purpose of peace and freedom for all God's elect. That's the bottom line. Regardless of what's going on, you're safe.
Safe.
Everybody say, I'm safe.
I'm safe.
Now, don't say it if you don't feel that you're safe. But really, it doesn't make sense to say you're safe, to say you're not safe, to say you're saved and you don't, and say you're not safe. See, we put saved and safe into two different categories.
No.
That's crazy.
Amen.
You either.
Come on with it.
If you're saved, you're secured.
Right. Amen.
But your security cannot be in the things that are around you.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
We have these expectations,
mm-hmm.
and they're flawed.
Mm-hmm.
They said, whoo, that months ago, First of the year, Bear Stearns fell, and everybody went, woo. Even I was impressed. I said, wow. Then a few months later, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac bit the dust. They had to take $2 trillion to, otherwise we'd all been out of our houses.
Amen.
You all don't understand what I'm saying, but I'm telling you. And then it just dominoed. All five of the investment firms on Wall Street crumbled, collapsed. So that inevitably would take Wall Street down. And the credit market and all of these things. And all we're saying is that don't depend upon the things around you. Physicality?
Yes, I hear you.
How you gonna stand on a horizontal plane and figure out what's happening on a horizontal plane?
I hear you.
And this is the way the ministry is ministered, and this is why we continue to write this piece on the patronage of secular partisan ministering and preaching. When we stand here, what are we gonna talk about? We're gonna talk about Jesus. You two talk about Jesus, time to go home. Your hope is in Christ. In the essence of who you are, in Christ. Now this affords no path for humanity through dissembling the misinformation so prevalent in time sequences. But nowhere in the deepening awareness of eternality's light and truth. You're looking in the wrong place for peace. You're looking in the wrong place. You think it's bad, it's going to get worse.
I hear you.
I look at it crazy. Said, no, the president said he's going to give them the money and bail out. He said, a lot of people in the auto industry are going to lose their jobs. Ooh, Pastor. Is your life your job? If you lose your job, is your life over? If you lose your home, is your life over? No. What is your life? It's telling us, as the link of God, our life is in Christ. Now, if something happened to Jesus, we're in trouble. But nothing can happen to Jesus because he's God.
That's right.
So, all right. Those captivated with independences of physicality. Categorize those manipulated and misled through unscripture misinformation that is, quote, supernaturally relied upon. We don't use that word here. Supernatural doesn't mean spiritual.
Amen.
How are you going to be natural in anything be spiritual?
Amen. Nope. I hear you.
In fact, you're talking about natural, and when you say super, you're talking about making something more potent. So you're going to soup up the flesh and make it spiritual.
I hear you.
A soup up physicality and make it spirituality.
Come on now. Preach it.
Is that crazy?
Real crazy.
How the Lord of the unenlightened comprehends eternal dwelling? Everybody say eternal dwelling. In its fullness and complexity, for most are yet asleep in the large-scale manipulation that is taking place at orthodoxy, religious, mental, and emotional levels. Indeed, it is precisely lethargy towards spirituality, that is, their willingness to proceed with business as usual, that is currently being used by these secular forces and seeking to undermine the genuine spiritual foundation of eternal forces. Listen, eternality's aim is to bring about the demise of all physical temporariness.
Yes,
I think I'll repeat that.
Yes,
eternality's aim is to bring about the demise, yes, the death of all physical temporariness. The Bible plainly says, and time will be no more. And everything associated with time, when time bites the dust, everything associated with time bites the dust. But don't worry. The essence of you is not in time, but it's in eternity. And the scriptures are just replete. That is the grace covenant. It's just replete with this information. But, you know, it's because, you know, it's not too appealing. The ministry is intimidated. I'm not going to come here and tell you that, you know, hey, we get together and we fast and we pray that the president give us the money, you know, and I said, no, you don't. No, you don't. In fact, you don't want me in that prayer meeting, not me. Because I'm only praying God's will is done.
Amen.
And whatever it is.
Whatever.
You know why? Because it is already done. Manifestation is just testimony of what God has already decreed. What you see is not what it really is. What you see is testimony of what it is. And what it is whatever manifests for the purpose of testimony. So eternality's aim is to bring about the demise of all physical temporariness. At the same time, these hosts and forces of light are guardians and shepherds, encountering all the forces of physical destruction with an incessant presence of light. This presence rests upon underpinning of the divine ordination and endurance in the light of eternal election. Everybody say again, eternal election. Which is victorious even upon the earth. As such, comprehension moves into the higher dimension of spiritual reality. Now, when eternal comprehension, everybody say eternal comprehension. When eternal comprehension is factored, all God's elect are benefactors and progress in proportion to being awakened to the reality of the largest scale drama that has ever taken place on the earth. Nothing should shake you up so much that it shakes your confidence in God and in His purpose and His program. Nothing. One spiritually intellectual capacity apprehends that despite whatever difficulties may appear, despite whatever hurdles one may have to overcome, the light of God's eternal purpose avails. Everybody say God's eternal promise.
God's eternal promise.
Hence darkness cannot prevail. As the roots of peace and freedom grasps full hold within the precious order and dwell in the eternal foundation. Everybody say eternal foundation.
Eternal foundation.
This tranquil society and immortal epic embargo uninterrupted blessings in even this present time of awakening. As exhortations in this light, comfort, abet, and their actualized workings from the vertical vantage point of what is thrust upon the earth in servitude to the divine creator of all. What we attempt to do is to take you up into the vertical plane.
Right.
And you're looking down on it.
Right.
You know, the three basic views of got the net's eye view. That's where you're down below it and you're looking up. That's the worst view. Then you have the horizontal view where you're looking around. But that's not the best view. In fact, that view can be deceiving. There could be joy there, but chaos is in the front. So you can't see around the chaos. So all you see is the chaos, even though the joy is there. But when you're in the vertical, oh my God, when you're in the vertical plane, and you're looking down, oh my God. Yeah, that's the chaos, but I see the joy too.
Yes, I hear you, God.
And so, our gospel takes us up into the vertical plane.
Yes, Lord.
When we look down upon the problems.
Glory. Amen.
We see the vicissitudes of life are not what they might appear to some to be. One more verse and then I'm down. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 4. Everybody turn to it. 1 Thessalonians. You know, many times when Paul was talking, they thought he was crazy. Even Peter said, Paul speak about things I don't understand what he's talking about. But I teach the ministry, you stand here and you go to our contract, which is the grace covenant. And you do what?
Exegete.
You call your scripture. And then you do what?
Exegete.
You exegete it. And then you do what?
Exegete.
And after you get through explaining, you do what?
Sit down.
If I talk to you, I got to talk to you out of these scriptures.
Right.
Otherwise, then I'm talking. And I think I got some pretty good ideas, but I guarantee you they're probably worthless. So we always stand behind the scriptures. You got that, Brother Deacon?
Yeah.
Everybody got 1 Thessalonians 1 and 4, say amen.
Amen.
All right.
Both.
Yeah, both. Mm-hmm.
1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, in King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God.
You see, that basically, that is an aphorism. What's an aphorism? It's like a saying, but it has a principle. Right? You might call it an adage. You know, what was it? Shakespeare said, to forgive, to err is human, forgive is divine. That's like an aphorism. It states a principle. Here Paul said knowing. Except he said more than knowing. Finished it up in the English and the King James and then it's all to the Greek.
That's in the King James.
1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 4, interlinear Greek text.
Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, if you don't have it, just look at you. Just follow what we're saying here. Read.
Knowing, brothers, having been loved by God, the choice of you.
First Thessalonians 1 and 4. That is amazing. Okay, here you have a Greek participle, ethotes. This participle, a participle is a what?
Verbal adjective.
Adjective does what? It describes. The verb is an action word. So you have an action word describing something.
Right.
It is in the perfect tense. What is the perfect tense? Both translations, even this interlineal, ignored the completed aspect of knowing. This should be having known and knowing, but the essence is having known. Having the known, brethren. Beloved by God, your what? Election. those who Paul were writing to, here the inference is that this information is available to some whom God has designated to know. You see, all the fact of what person knows doesn't determine whether they're God's. Thank God. Amen. Our election is not based upon what we know. We'd all be so much we don't know.
Amen. That's right.
But having known. Mm-hmm. Follow this. In fact, I got it. Look at that second paragraph there on verse 5. Mm-hmm. Let's just go through it. Note that the Greek participle ephotes rendered having known, it is in the perfect tense, you have a completed action with present effect, which may be rendered having known and do know. See the difference? We have the vocative case. What's the vocative case? Direct address of the now adelphi. Rendered brethren. Apathy. Rendered brethren. It identifies the privileged status of the addressees. That's who Paul was talking to. Through the Greek participle here, we have a Greek participle again. What is a participle? It's a verb adjective. So it is a word, it is action word describing. It is egapimani. Egapimani. Egapimeni, which is literally rendered having been and are beloved. Going back to the other verse.
Right.
You are beloved because you were beloved.
Right.
And if you were beloved, there's nothing in time that you can do to become unbeloved.
Right. Nothing.
By God.
That's right. By God.
We even talk that, you know, our performance. My friends, if your performance and my performance was a factor, we could just give it up, all of us.
Amen.
How many of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God?
All.
Or some? No, all.
All.
And here all means all. All means all. And so what's being conveyed here in the essence is not that you are loved because you did something, but the fact that you are loved because you were loved.
Right.
So, having been and are beloved, again, as a completed action with present effect,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Has nothing to do with your performance.
Oh, heavens, man. Thank you.
Every last one of us mess up just about every day in something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you say, well, preacher, you got to understand what righteousness and perfection is. You got to square that against the standard of God. And if you can't measure up to the righteousness of Christ, there's no such thing as half righteousness, 35%, 85%, 99% righteousness. It's not a relative term. It's an absolute term. There's righteousness, and if it's not righteous, it's unrighteous. And this is why we need the righteousness of Christ.
That's right.
All the time. Note the Greek phrase epotheou, rendered by God, it defines passiveness as well as possessiveness by the genitive case. The genitive case shows what? Possession. The passive voice means you're not doing it, it's being done to you.
That's right.
By God. You're the elect because of God.
Mm-hmm.
You're the elect because of what God did.
Yes.
Not what you are.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
By God. And so, the genetic case as to ownership of so named one's chosen status through the usage of the ending phrase, clause here, teen echoing imam, rendered your election. It's your election from the standpoint of you being the recipient of it,
yes.
Not from the standpoint of your choice.
No.
They taught us that we chose God. No, you didn't. Here I'm all depraved and now I'm being dependent upon to choose God. God chose you. And sometimes when I'm talking to these free willers and say, you got to choose God. I said, no, in the Old Testament said, did God choose Abraham or did Abraham choose God? Well, you know, God chose Abraham because he's right there. Well, now you go on down, you through it, you go through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You go on down through all of the annals of history of those in Israel, and you never see any of them choosing to be an Israelite. Now when we get to the church, we do the choosing. Is that crazy? Here the church is more glorious than the Commonwealth of Israel.
I hear
you. Now God's the wallflower. Pleading, choose me, choose me. Choose him with what? And you're all depraved. That's crazy. No, that's why we're so messed up in life. We're so messed up in life because we're messed up when it comes to salvation. Amen. My friend, whatever you think about salvation, it comes right on down into your life. Amen. If you don't trust God to save you, how in the world can you trust God to pay your bills? So, well, you know, if I work hard enough, I can pay my bills. I mean, no. No matter what you do, no matter what you do, it will not be sufficient. If God decrees you're going to lose that car, it's gone. You might as well take your personal belongings out. Because next time you park it, it's history. Same thing goes for your house. Isn't that crazy? God controls the whole universe. When we get to the earth, we're in charge. You know, something's not clicking here. So, well, I lost it because I did something dumb. How about all the times that you did things dumb and you didn't lose it? How about times you were dumb and you were blessed? One of these days we're going to get it. It's not about us. It's about him. We got some crazy ideas. You know, it's like God doesn't have an agenda.
I hear you. Come on
now. Oh, he's a creator. Then he went after. He got through creating. He said, well, I'm just about to see what y'all going to do now. No, it's not. He's a designer, a planner. And just because you don't understand the eternal intent, you sometimes, we won't say it, but subconsciously, we want this. God, Lord, do you see this? Did you see that, Lord? He said, did I see it? I ordered it. God help us to get our thinking straight here. No wonder most of us are basket cases. There's no problem for me not knowing that I'm helpless. Oh, that's got to really be disturbing to think that God is helpless. Or that God doesn't care. If one is just as bad as the other. The conveyance clearly identifies what, give me 3 minutes, what and where the venue, and this is the real 3 minutes, the venue of this transactional assignment entails and resides in the eternal sphere. Now, last one, abiding focus of election. The present moment of manifestation in the sphere of time, follow this real closely, requires vigilant attention to the inferential loss of freedoms unnoticed by most, but can be seen by those who are watchful in the realm of light, which grants insight in the essential heart and soul of eternal destiny. Everybody say eternal destiny. Oh my God, that thing happened because it was supposed to. That, you know, there are no accidents in God. Because that thing goes off track according to our plans, we call it an accident. But as far as eternal intent is concerned, that's no accident. What is the eternal intent? These vigilances focus on the necessity to become conscious of the increase and increasing relations between eternal actualization facts. Everybody say eternal actualization facts. I'm having you repeat this because in the coming months, as we get back into our main discourse, we're going to go into, my God, we're going to leave the earth. In fact, we're going to leave the universe. And we're going to operate where God operates. Now, whatsoever is being manifested, listen, whatsoever is being manifested is governed by the authority of God's decree to not only influence, but dictate the policy of everyday affairs. The constituents whom divine election represents exemplify increased divisions between eternal haves and temporary have-nots. Oh my God, I wish I had time. We'll revisit that in our discourse. But everybody just say eternal haves, temporary have-nots. Just always remember that. Our focus is always on the temporary have-nots. This concentration of internalized power in the hands of eternality postures the essence of abiding stability. None have availed in the many wonderings of what is, quote, happening in the time capsule historically. In that these limitations prevent the pragmatic pursuance of permanency as its end. We shouldn't be looking for anything permanent in the time capsule. Everything is temporary. Now, final paragraph here. Realistic consideration for enduring physicality awakens even more to the sense of the urgency of time faltering in the floundering principles of manifested creation. This mode of divine consciousness requires consideration for ordering, preservation, and protection of the basic tenets or principles upon which genuine spirituality stands in the alleviation of unreliable illusions. Oh my God, wish I had time to deal with that. Scripture spirituality. Everybody says scripture spirituality. And my friend, if it doesn't match the scriptures, it's not spiritual. That's why supernatural is not spiritual. Because supernatural is not scriptural. Say it again, scripture spirituality. All right, it exudes peace and stillness linked inwardly and connected one's heart to heart and soul to soul. Oh, I wish I had time. Amen. Oh, my God. Regardless of whatever is transpiring in the world. Listen. Regardless of what is happening in the world. Thoughts in eternality align with affirming intentions in the supreme purpose of spiritual light and love exemplified in wisdom and clarity. Oh my God, we just don't know how blessed we are. Genuine spirituality, everybody say genuine spirituality. It projects the eternal process of ensuring abiding election liberated from human tampering. Eternal election, everybody said eternal election, exhibits visualization of affirmative effects and good and sustainable health and sustainable peace. That's what we want. Sustainable health and sustainable peace. No amount of time that the charlatans tell you that you can get it and keep it. No, 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 no. That which transcends the things that are around you. The things that trouble you. The things that are confronting you. The things that are contending for your peace and your joy and your happiness. Oh my God. And the blissful state of knowing that He who is in you, He's greater. Can you say greater? Can you say greater? He's greater than he who is in the world. You may not understand it. He should not be based upon the essence of human understanding. Oh my God. But the peace of God that passes all human understanding. A joy that is not invested in physicality. A joy that's not invested in the world. But a joy that is there to the end that we can say, Paul said as he walked through prison, rejoice. And again I said rejoice. Weeping may be dull for the night, but joy. Can you say joy? Can you say joy? Joy is invested in eternality. God bless you.